This morning, we're going to be taking pieces of scripture from around the Bible, and if you are inclined, you can look this up as we go through. Otherwise, it's right up here on the screen. And if you can't see the screen and you can't read the Bible, then you at least have your bulletin, and you can take that home and look these up later. We're going to start in Proverbs 11, verse 24. And that says, "Some give freely, yet grow all the richer. Others withhold what is due and only suffer want." And that's from Proverbs, the book of wisdom. And then we turn over to the book of Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10, where we read, "The lover of money will not be satisfied with money, nor the lover of wealth with gain. This also is vanity." Jesus, in Matthew 6, 24, says this, "No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." 2 Corinthians goes on to say this, "Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And then we turn to the book of James, chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure for the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have killed the righteous man. He does not resist you." This is the word of God for the people of God this morning. And I hope you noticed a theme between our scriptures this morning. We're continuing on in a series that I've entitled Seven, specifically pointed towards the seven deadly sins. This was a list made up by Pope Gregory in 590, and it is a bit of a misnomer. In that there are more than seven sins that a human being can commit, and all of them are deadly. But these seven were singled out so that people could begin to meditate, could begin to think about how their life was going. And we've talked about some other things. We've talked about wrath, very, very appropriate for what's going on in the world today. And we talked about lust, also having a lot of impact throughout the world, a lot of impact in our society, in our men, in our women, and how we're relating to one another. And this is another in this series, and we're talking about greed today, but we're also talking about liberality or generosity. Because we're not just on the negative side of the fence, we're also about what happens when we embrace God's way of doing things. And to kick us off for today, I want to ask you this question, and I expect this is for everyone, but how many of you have ever lost something important? Right? You've lost something important. Can you imagine yourself walking through your house, walking through your apartment, maybe searching underneath the seats of your car, right? Have you guys been there, right? Because there was something that you needed, and you probably needed it 5 or 10 minutes ago, right? Right? You need it really, really badly, and you just get this pit in your stomach about how much you want whatever that thing is, because you've got someplace to be. You've got to do something. There's something that you really want to accomplish, and you need this thing, whatever it was, in order to accomplish what you want to do. Now, there's nothing wrong with that moment, apart from what you would say is wrong with that moment. But morally speaking, nothing wrong with that moment. But I want you to think about that feeling. That feeling of not having something that you know you ought to have. That feeling of not having something that you need to accomplish what you want. That feeling of want undergirds what we're talking about today. That feeling of needing something that you don't have is what undergirds the sin of greed. You see, because when we get greedy, when we start holding back, that feeling, or rather the fear of that feeling, is what prompts us to hold back. That fear of not having enough, that fear of needing something that we don't have, is what prompts us to not share, is what prompts us to not be generous. And we could be talking about money today. We could be talking about a possession of some sort. That it doesn't matter specifically. But that fear of not having is what prompts our greed. And in terms of being a sin, the Saint Thomas Aquinas wrote this: greed is a sin against one's neighbors, since one man cannot overabound in external riches without another man lacking them. One of my favorite financial counselors today, his name's Dave Ramsey. Anybody ever listen to Dave Ramsey on the radio? Okay, lots of really good advice there. And last spring, we did a Financial Peace University here. If that's something that you'd be interested in, we're hoping to do another one coming up this fall. Something I got to get going on, by the way. But he talks about it this way. He doesn't use greed per se, but he uses the analogy of a pond. And if you've ever seen a pond that has a stream that flows into it, but doesn't have an outlet, things are okay for a while, but after some time goes by, the water is stagnant. And stagnant water grows things. And those things eventually begin to be visible on the surface of the water. And Ramsey says, that pond gets scummy. Have you ever seen a scummy pond? Yeah, you've seen a scummy pond. That's what it is with us. When we have wealth flowing into us, and we don't have an outlet for that, we don't have a means of generosity, we, as human beings, get a little bit scummy. And maybe you've met someone like that. Maybe you know someone in the back of your head, but this isn't a sermon about someone else. This is a sermon about us and how we can keep from being a little bit scummy. Maybe. Third time's a charm. There we go. Whoops. You get your Bob Marley next. All right. First, we're talking about greed versus envy, because envy is something else. We're talking about greed today. And greed is wanting to keep what we already have. Right? So you have something. You might not be the richest person in town, but you have something. Greed is wanting to keep what you have. Envy is not having something and wanting it. And both of these make this list, by the way. We're going to be talking about envy in a few weeks, but I just wanted to make that distinction. One is not worse or better than the other, but greed and envy are different things. Very related because they both have to do with money or possessions, but these are different things. And so I want to parse that in your mind. Keeping what we have versus wanting what we don't have. And how these emotions, how these thought patterns can keep us away from God, keep us from loving the people around us. Now, this is the Bob Marley quote. Money is numbers and numbers never end. If it takes money to be happy, your search for happiness will never end. And this is where greed comes to be a heart matter, right? And if you, when I was a kid, and some of you are old enough to be my parent or grandparent, but it maybe in when you were watching my generation come up, you saw this television show called DuckTales. Okay, we've got one chuckle, we've got a smile there. DuckTales. You remember DuckTales? Where it's this old Disney show where at the beginning, this guy named Scrooge McDuck dives into his pile of money. He builds a tower for his money, and he treats it like a swimming pool. It would probably hurt to try to dive into a pile of coins, but he did it somehow. And there was this sense of wealth accumulation. There was this sense of wealth accumulation, and there's something going on in the heart there. There's something going on in the hearts of people that have to accumulate and accumulate and accumulate. And I think this quote from Bob gets to the heart of it. That's not where happiness lies. Now, I remember this old prayer that someone, I think, somewhat facetiously prayed. And said this. Said, God, I know that the love of money is the root of all evil. And that winning the lottery would really test me in that way. But God, please test me. Please test me, God. You know, this idea that we're going to take this and hoard this, and if I were rich, I would do it differently. Here's another Dave Ramseyism for you. Money just makes you more of what you already are. Money will just make you more of what you already are. And so if you are poor and you are loving and kind and generous, if you ended up with a pile of money, you would most likely be rich and loving and kind and generous. And if you are poor and you are stingy and selfish and uncaring, if you get a pile of money, you will be rich and stingy and uncaring and selfish. Do you see a pattern here? Money does not create internal changes. Money does not transform us. A collecting and collecting and collecting money does not make us different people. Whoever you are, whether you like you or don't like you, whether you are satisfied with who you are or whether you are not satisfied with who you are, money won't change that. Now, I'm not saying that you can't change. I'm not saying that change is impossible. I'm just saying money and the accumulation of it is not the answer to it. Here's another thing that Thomas Aquinas said. Before, he said it was a sin against our neighbors. And here he says, it, that being greed, is a sin against God, just as all mortal sins, inasmuch as humanity contends or is content with things eternal or sacrifices things eternal for the sake of temporal things. In other words, he's saying we are sacrificing heaven to be comfortable now. We're sacrificing our desire for God for the desires of things that are right here and right now. Money is numbers, and numbers never end. If it takes money to be happy, your search for happiness will never end. I love the way Bob said that. So, how do we do that? At the beginning, I asked you what that feeling, to remember that feeling of not having something. That feeling of having lost something. That feeling of wondering where it is. And that fear of that feeling. And that's a common human emotion. That's a common human emotion to fear going without. People who are poor have that feeling. People who are rich have that feeling. That feeling doesn't have anything to do with the numbers in our bank account or whatever is in your wallet. Overcoming that feeling is not something that starts in our hearts. It starts by taking a step of faith and sharing. And when we share, we get a little less scummy. When we share, we get a little lighthearted. And I don't know about you, but one of the best feelings in the world is doing something for somebody without them knowing about it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just surprised somebody and made life easier, and they know that somebody did something for them, but they don't know who? Have you ever done that for someone? Have you ever done it for a stranger? Just seeing the opportunities that are out there. Be prayerful about seeing that. Now, I would invite you to be intentional about this. When it comes to the area of money, have a budget. Have a budget. I know some people, you say that word budget, and it's like, oh, man, that's just, what a buzzkill, right? You know, I've got to sit down. If you're married, you got to sit down with your spouse, because one of the biggest causes of divorce is money problems. And one person going and spending a bunch of money in one area, and another person going and spending a bunch of money in another area, and you don't talk to each other, and all of a sudden you've got less money than you have month, and it's ugly, right? I don't know, maybe some of you have been there. So you have to budget. And that's not really part of this greed and liberality, but when you sit down to budget, it's a good thing to say, this is what we're going to give this month. This is where we are going to be generous. And to do so with a heart of joy. Did you hear that verse, church, that said, God loves a cheerful giver? To do that, and if you're married, to intentionally do that together. And to say, this is going to be the money that we are generous with. This is going to be the money that we are giving with. And maybe you don't have a lot. Maybe you are having trouble making ends meet. And that's a really hard thing. Can you start with $5? Can you start with $5? Okay, just $5 over the course of a month, and just to say, I just want to bless somebody. And God, this $5 is going to be intended not for me, but I trust that when I put this $5 in my wallet or in your purse, that this is going to be something that you are going to give me the opportunity to make somebody else's life better with. And you do that on the first of the month, and you go out and you wait for God to give you that opportunity. Or maybe you know of a place or a person that you want to bless, that God is calling you to bless. And maybe you're not poor. Maybe you've been blessed and you have resources. And so you budget out a place where of your income and you're going to give that away. You're going to make somebody else's life better. You're going to support an organization that does good in the community. Look for opportunities to share. Look for opportunities to allow at least something to flow out of you. Otherwise, that grows and we get scummy. But if it's flowing, we're kept fresh, and we are generous the same way God is generous with us. And don't we want to be like God? Would you pray with me? Holy and loving God, we give thanks to you today. We give thanks for the ways you've blessed us. Lord, help us to be a blessing. Help us to share. Help us to see the places of this world where your people are in need. And help us to love them the way that you love us. In your name we pray. Amen.